We're holding at the Mishnah. We're holding at the Mishnah on Yud Zayin Amud Beis, at the bottom of Yud Zayin Amud Beis. Mishnah says, Chal Lias Achar Shabbos, if Yom Tov comes out the day after Shabbos. Now, there is a din that the Chayav Adam Latar Atma Beregel, when a person is obligated to make himself and his Kalim Tahar on the Sholosh Regalim. We actually talked about a week or two ago that for that reason we consider that the assumption is that Amei Aretz are Tahar during the Regel.
Not Shabbos.
Shabbos, no. I mean, a person should be Tahar for Shabbos, obviously, but it's not a chiyu like it is for a regular. You can't expect necessarily. I mean, think of it. The person that's Tamei Mef, for example, he's Tamei for 7 days. He's not going to be Tahar for Shabbos. But regular, the Sholosh Regalim, a person is supposed to make an effort to make sure that he and his things are Tahar so that he can do a little bit of regular.
So many more Jews get doing something for Pesach because they just see it as so much more important.
Yeah. So, if Yom Tov comes out the day after Shabbos, so the basic question is, what are and aren't you allowed to dip in the mikveh that Shabbos? Or what do you have to make sure is done before Shabbos? Shabbos says you have to tovel everything, anything, whether it's a person or dishes or clothes or whatever that needs toveling, it all has to be done before Shabbos. Or Vesilah, I mean, Kalim Elif now, Shabbos for Adam B'Shabbos. Vesilah says, Kalim, yes, those have to be done before Shabbos. We'll talk about in the Gemara why. The Adam B'Shabbos, but a person is allowed to tovel on Shabbos itself.
Not the Kalim.
This is, by the way, again, we're talking about Kalim, we're talking about tovel and Kalim as far as Tumah V'Tahara. What the din is as far as tovel and Kalim that we do when we buy them from a guy, the kind of tovel and Kalim that we do nowadays, we'll talk about later on. The Shovin, and the Mishnah adds, that both B'Shama and B'Sol agree, Shema Shikin Es HaMayim, that you're allowed to do Hashaka with water, B'Kli Evan, in a stone utensil, L'Taharon, to make them Tahar. What is it? Hashaka is like this. Normally, Kalim, of course, you know, most kinds of Kalim, you can dip in the mikveh and they become Tahar. One exception is Klei Chavis. Some kinds of kalim, stoneware is one example, clay oven, can never become tamei in the first place. Food and drink, including water, food, anything, they can become tamei. We learned about that a lot in Shabbos and in Pesachim. Food, there's no way of making it tahor once it became tamei. You can't dip food in a mikveh. You know, the concept of a mikveh only applies to a person and to utensils and clothes and whatnot, not to food. But there is one case where if you have water that became tamei, then what you can do is you put that water into a container. You dip that container into the mikveh until a little bit of the water inside the keli mixes with the water in the mikveh, until like there's a little bit of them connected. Then at that point, that water in the keli becomes tahar, not as a matter of tevilah. If it was a matter of tevilah, it would be like any other food. You can't tovel food. But as a matter of zriya, it's a matter of that you're connecting together one body of water with another, basically. It's a somewhat similar concept to how many mikvahs nowadays, where they have the Chabad minhag is that you have bor agave bor. You have a reservoir of rainwater on the bottom, and then you have tap water or whatever municipal water on the top, and you open up a hole between them so that they're always touching. Not really gedushin. It's a matter of touch. It's a matter of them touching. But a different way, and many communities in the Velt do a different kind of thing, and even in many Lubavitcher mikvahs they do this as well, in order to be yotzei l'chol hadeis, is instead they have the reservoir of rainwater next to the mikvah next to the mikvah that everybody tovels in, which from the municipal water supply, and they open up a hole in the wall between them, and then that connection between them is called zriya. It's called properly speaking, it's called ashaka. Which is the same word, mashikin, that we're talking about here. The two waters are then connected, and then they become like one unit.
Or they don't mix very much.
They don't mix very much, but that doesn't matter.
In Kansas, the two mikvahs we have, they're right next to a creek, and that really makes it very easy.
Okay, so then if you have that, then good. In most places, they don't have that, but yeah. So both Bishamah and Bishul agree. If you have water, which is tamei, and you want to do hashaka with it on Yom Tov, on Yom Tov, or on Shabbos for that matter, you can do that. But because it's not a matter of toveling, again, it's a matter of zriya, it's a matter of hashaka, that you're connecting two bodies of water, but it has to be in a kli evan, it has to be in a stone keli, meaning it has to be a keli that itself was not already tameh. You can't put it, for example, in a keli that anyway needs to be toveled, and then that way you figure you're killing two birds with one stone, you'll tovel the keli and you'll do hashaka with the water. That you're not allowed to do, because again, you're not allowed to tovel kelim on Shabbos, even Basil agrees to that.
How would you do with the keli? I mean, hashaka is you have two bits.
No. That's what we're saying. You take a keli full of water, you press it down into the mikveh until a little bit of the mikveh water overflows the rim of the keli. That's also called hashaka, because now you're connecting the water inside the cup with the water outside of the mikveh. But you can't tovel. You can't tovel a keli, which means, like we just said, that the Gemara will explain tomorrow that it means that you can't put the water. No, it means that you can't put the water into a keli that otherwise needs to vila. That's why they're saying dafka, you can put it into a stone keli. The stone cannot be makabel tuma. By the same token, you can put it into any other keli that's not makabel tuma either. Such as, for example, something made from fish skin or fish bones or whatever. Anything made from sea creatures can't become tuma either. But more typically, the kind of thing that they use when they need utensils that will last and that won't be makabel tuma is they use stone. Now, we've talked about, I've mentioned before about the burnt house that they discovered 40-odd years ago in excavations in the old city, which all the utensils there were made out of stone, and they realized eventually that it belonged to a family of Kohanim, and that's why they did that, so that there's no problem with tuma v'tahara. Yeah.
Even today, it will be tahara then?
Yeah. Stone is not makabel tuma. Yeah. Yeah. Also, both Bishama and Bishul agree, umatbilin migav lagav, you're allowed to tovel from one gav to another, umechavura lachavura, and from one group to another. That we'll talk about, the Gemara we'll talk about tomorrow, what that means, but basically, those we're talking about, those are cases where you have to tovel something midrabanan, because of it, for an extra level of tara or something. And that, since it's not for the various reasons that we're going to go through in the Gemara, why you're not allowed to tovel kelim on Sabbath, don't apply to those cases, and therefore both the Shammah and the Soul agree that you're allowed to do that. The Gemara says, "Kula amamiyas kli b'Shabbos loy." So the bottom line is, everybody agrees, both the Shammah and the Soul, that you can't tovel kelim on Sabbath. The Soul is saying you can tovel Pete, that people can tovel, not kelim. But why not kelim? My timer. Amar Rabba, Zera Shemi Yitzlana B'yada, it's a Zera, because you might take the keli in your hand, V'yavirenu, Abba Amas, B'shos Rabba, and you'll carry it for Amas and B'shos Rabba. This is the famous thing that Rabba uses in a number of places. It's why it's the famous reason that Rabba says why we don't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, why we don't take lulav on Sukkot when they come out on Shabbos, why we don't read Megillah when Pesach, when Purim comes out on Shabbos, which nowadays can only happen in Yerushalayim. So here he's using that for the same reason that you might carry the keli for amos in Rosh Hashanah. And Mefarshim explain what we're talking about over here is, for example, the person will take the keli, let's say, out to his chotzer, looking, you know, he knows he has a mikveh, he has, let's say, a pit of water in his chotzer. He figures he'll dip it in over there. He comes there, he finds the pit is dry. He'll forget himself and walk out to somebody else's chotzer still looking for a mikveh and forget the fact that he's carrying. New, according to that, then what are you going to say if the person has a pit of water in his own yard? Then obviously there's no problem of him carrying. So Rabbi tells him, okay, still, the Chacham made a zera that you might confuse when you have a bur in your chaser, you might confuse it with where the only one available is in Shosarabim. And he asks him, okay, I can understand then why you're not allowed to tovel on Shabbos. But Yom Tov Ma'ik L'Meimah, what are you going to say on Yom Tov? Yom Tov you're allowed to carry outside. The answer is, Gozer Yom Tov Otter Shabbos. Okay, but they made a Gzera that you don't want to confuse Yom Tov with Shabbos. Which, Tosfos explained, it's not, we learned at the beginning of the Masechta that you're not allowed to make Gzera like Gzera. The Chum can't make one Gzera to safeguard another one. But in this case, Shabbos and Yom Tov are essentially the same Gzera. Once the Chachamim made a Tachana that you can't tovel Kalim on Shabbos, then they had to also include in that Yom Tov as well, because otherwise it's too confusing. Yeah. However, the Gemara asked, "Umi Gazri? No, are you telling me that you're going through such a thing that you make such a Gzera that you're not, when we're saying you're not allowed to tovel Kalim, that even we're going to go so far, even a case which is mutter when you have a bur in your own chotzer, when it's Yom Tov, that we're going to go to the nth degree like this and be machmir?" V'hatanan, but we learned in our mission of a shavan shemashikin as hamayim between evan l'taharan. We said that you're allowed to do hashaka with water and a stone keli to make it tahar, avaloy matbilin, but you can't tovel the keli. Now, if you're telling me that we make such a gzeirah, nigzer hashaka otru hadbala, then let's make a gzeirah. You're not allowed to do hashaka, you're not allowed to do this hashaka with water, because you might forget, and because it's very easily confused with actually toveling the keli.
What would be the difference?
Should
you dip the keli so
that now? No. Hashaka is you're not trying to be mitahar the keli.
Right.
Again, the keli is made out of stone, so it didn't become tummy in the first place. You're trying to be mitahar the water, but being mitahar the water, you're not toveling the water because there's no such thing as toveling food and drink. You're being mashik. You're making hashaka between the water and the mikveh. You're connecting the water to the water of the mikveh.
So you use the keli of stone.
You use the keli of stone itself, and you put it in the water until the water overflows the rim of it a little.
And here the Gemara says the same
word. Now, that's what we're quoting the Mishnah, but we're saying if you're going to tell me that we make such zeres that we don't want anybody to possibly come to tovel kelim on Shabbos, then why are we allowing you to do hashaka, which is so similar to tevila? You are dipping the keli into the mikveh after all. You're not doing it for the sake of the keli. You're doing it for the sake of the water. But still, they're very easily confused. Yeah.
Even though they're in stone.
Yeah. So you want to ask back the Tisbara, how can you think such a thing? You have to consider, what's the case that we're talking about? If a person has other good water, which is not Tameh, so why does he need to bother doing Ashaka? He'll throw away this water, it's Tameh anyway, and then use the good water, yeah. Ella Delesle. Obviously, we must be talking about that he has no other water. Therefore, given Delesle, since he has no other water, Mizar Zarebahu, he will be very careful with it in the first place that it doesn't become tummy. Which means, therefore, that if he's very careful that water does not become tummy, then for it to become tummy would be an unusual thing. It would be a milsa de la shchicha. And we have a general rule, the Chachamim do not make Xeris about a milsa de la shchicha. So therefore, yes, it can allow you to do hashaka, because doing hashaka is such a rare thing. The only way a person is going to be doing it is if his entire water supply for Yom Tov became tamei, and then to begin with, he would have been careful that it doesn't become tamei. So the case where he has no other water and it becomes tamei is a very unusual one. Eitze, Abaye asks him another question, where we see that you're allowing something which is you're allowing a kind of tefilas kelim. Braisa says madlin bidli tameh. You're allowed to draw water from a pit or from a well or whatever with a bucket which is tameh, who tahar, and it automatically becomes tahar. Which the difference? What? Madeline means you draw water. The difference is, Rashi says, we said in the Mishnah that you're not allowed to take, for example, a wooden keli, which is tameh, and fill it up with water, which is also tameh, and dip them in the mikveh, and that way kill two birds with one stone. There you're not allowed to do it, because the whole point you're trying to accomplish over there is to be metahar something. You're trying to be metahar the water and the keli. So therefore it looks like tevila. And we're going to talk about later the various reasons. We're already talking about one reason why tevila is also. Now we're going to later talk about other ones. Here, it's not so obvious that this pitcher is tamei. That this bucket is tamei. Anybody who sees you putting it down into the well is going to think he needs to draw water. They're not going to realize that you're doing it as a matter of tevila. Now, if you're telling me that we make gzeiros to prevent anybody toveling kelim, nigzer duma osilat lebeinu, then we should still make a gzeira because he might come to actually tovel it outright without drawing water. The answer is shiny hasam. It's different in that case. It's just that mitoshalay butchalay ela aljay doyoy. Exactly that. Since you're only allowing to do it by drawing water. Which you never do that by any other kind of tefillah. You never tovel dishes by drawing water with them. This is the only one we're saying, go ahead and tovel it, fine, but you have to do it in a way that looks like regular drawing water, like you do the rest of the year. Zachuhu, then he'll remember that other kinds of toveling dishes are also on Yom Tov. So therefore he won't come to forget that. So therefore we don't need to make that clear. Eisved, Rabbi asks him another question. A Braisa says, Klisha nitmam erev yamtav, a utensil that became tameh before yamtav, ain mafilon nesib yamtav, then you're not allowed to tovel on yamtav. You should have tovel it yesterday. The yamtav mafilon nesib yamtav, but if it became tameh on yamtav itself, then you can tovel it on yamtav itself. Now, v'imi, so, and again, if you're going to say that we make a gzera, that we don't want people toveling kalim on yamtav, nigzer di yamtav, at the erev yamtav. Then you should make a gzera that you don't want it to tovel it even if it became tameh on yomtiv, because you might confuse it with the case where it was tovel where it became tameh erev yomtiv. The answer is truma b'yomtiv milsad l'shchichihi, that a keli should become tameh on erev on yomtiv itself is an unusual thing. Because again, since we started out, we introduced the Mishnah saying that a person is obligated to make himself and his kelim tahor on yomtiv, so it's unusual that there should even be a case of becoming tameh on yomtiv. And again, and again, the Rabbanan don't make gzera on an unusual case. Eise, Abai asked him another question. Bryce says, Klisha nitma ba'avatumah, a keli that became tummy with an avatumah, and we're talking about that it became tummy before yomtiv. So an avatumah would be, for example, that it touched a sheret, or a zav, or a mess, or whatever. Ain makbilo noisib yomtiv, then you're not allowed to dip it on yomtiv. But the vlada tumah makbilo noisib yomtiv. But if it only became tumah with a vlada tumah, then you're allowed to tovel it on yomtiv, even if it became tumah before yomtiv. Why? Because Rashi says like this. We learned back in Shabbos that only that kalim cannot become tumah from other kalim. So therefore, and furthermore, we learned in Pesachim that food cannot be tamei keli midaraisa. Midrabanan, yes, those various cases. So when this keli becomes tamei with a vlada tuma, for example, you know, you have, let's say, that you know, you have food that touched the sheref, it became a rishin l'tuma, and now this keli touches it, and you want to say the keli is a sheni l'tuma, that whole concept is only midrabanan. That means daraisa, the keli is tahor. So you're not fixing up anything. The Gemara is going to talk about. We're going to talk about soon. Rava is going to talk about one reason why you're not allowed to tovel kelim on Shabbos and Yom Tov is because you're like fixing them. Before you weren't able to use them. Now you are. So it's a kind of tikkun. Here there's no tikkun because midaraisa you were allowed to use them. So therefore, if they become tumah with a vlada tumah, then the braisa is saying you're allowed to tovel them on Yom Tov even if they became tumah before Yom Tov.
But
the difference between Vlada Tumah and Ava Tumah. Ava Tumah is the source of Tumah itself. For example, of the mess, or a person who touched a mess, actually, because he's an Ava Tumah, a Zav, a Nidav, a Yodas, a Sheret, the carcass of a dead animal. There's a number of different Avas Tumah. Vlada Tumah is the derivative of that. So, for example, have, let's say, a sheret touches a keli, for example. That keli becomes a rishon l'tumah. That keli, midaraisa, is not capable of making another keli tameh. If the sheret touched food, again, midaraisa, that food can make maybe other food or drinks or whatever tameh. We learned about that in Sachim, but it cannot make keli tameh. So the whole concept where a keli would be tameh by a vlada tumah, by a derivative of a tumah, is only the rabbanan. And again, so again, Abai asks, V'imi, so if you're telling me that we make a gzera to prevent people from toveling kelim on yomtiv, nigzer ha'atu ha, then again, you should make a gzera that you don't tovel a keli that became tameh by a vlada tumah, because you might confuse it with the one that was tameh by an ava tumah. The answer is, the Gemara says, vlada tumah heichem ashkachasla. Where are you anyway going to have a case where keli became tameh from a vlada tumah that you even need to tovel it? That would be babikoinim. That would be that kohenim. Why? Because like this. Vlada tuma, another word, vlada tuma means anything from rishon and down. You have a via voice tuma, which is a mess. You have an ava tuma, which is a person who touched a mess, or a sheret, shechazera, zav, etc., all the various things. All the other degrees below that are called vlada tuma, rishon, sheni, shlishi, revi. Now, when it comes to cholin, which is what most people eat, all you have is rishon and sheni. There's no such thing as shlishi or lower by cholin. There is by truma and there is by tachshim. So if you have this keli became tameh by a vlada tuma, what does that mean? You had, for example, food or drinks which were Rishon L'Truma, which touched this Keli, and you're telling me that makes it a Sheni L'Truma. Okay, but a regular person wouldn't have to worry about that, because what's going to happen? That Keli, you're now going to take that Keli and put other food in it? Big deal. The food will become Shlishi. There's no Shlishi in Cholin. The only one who would have to be concerned about such a thing is a Kohen. Because Kohenim eats Truma. Well then, Kohenim Zuzim Haim, the Kohenim are careful. They know. There's two possibilities. Rashi says what Zuzenhain means. Number one, they're going to know the difference between Vlada Tumah and Ava Tumah, so they're not going to confuse those two cases. Number two, there's Rizim in the case that they're careful to prevent things from becoming Tumah in the first place. So again, we're back to the Milta Dolei Shchicha explanation. So we don't have to make that Gzeira. What? The two reasons are, one, because Kohenim know the difference between the different degrees of Tumah. So they're not going to confuse a Keli that became Tameh by a Rishon with a Keli that became Tameh by an Av. And number two, because they're careful to prevent things from becoming Tameh in the first place. Right, because then the Keli becomes a Shlishi, but then if he puts food into it, it's going to be the food is going to become a Shlishi. And right. With Truma, it only goes as far as Shlishi. So yes, with Truma, you still have to be careful not to put it in a utensil that's a Sheni. With culture, it goes all the way to the V.
That's what we talked about.
Yeah, we learned about that in Tzachim. Rashi mentioned a different explanation on this, by the way, about the difference between an Avatoma and a Vladatoma, although he says he doesn't like it. The difference is, he says, that when a Keli becomes Tomei, besides that you need to dip it in the mikveh, we know most things that become Tomei, people as well, besides dipping them in the mikveh, you also need Herev Shemesh. You also need that the sunset that becomes nightfall before they become fully tar. Well then, if you toivel it on Yom Tov, you're anyway not going to be able to use it today. However, Rashi says, I don't like that explanation, because what do you mean? You can still use it for Cholin. This whole concept that you need Herev Shemesh is only for Truma. It's not necessary for Cholin. So therefore, there's no reason to make that distinction. In Cholin, you don't need. Yeah. Also, Rashi, also Tosfos mentions that when it comes to toveling something which is only needed to Rabbanan, you don't necessarily need Herev Shemesh.
It wouldn't be when you
sit
on Yom
Tov itself.
Because
it's still during the daytime.
And it's going to be purified.
Only that night when Yom Tov is over, exactly, yeah. Right. But for Cholin, that's not an issue. And possibly even for Tumas de Rabbanan, it may not be an issue either. Okay. Toshma. Tosfos points out one other thing. We did learn in Shabbos and also in Tzachim that Midrabanan, normally Tumah goes downwards. So normally, again, you know, you have the Sheretz and Ava Tumah, something that touches the Zerushin, something that touches that Asheni, etc. There is Midrabanan, something we had this way back in Brachos as well, where Tumah goes up. Namely, that Midrabanan, anything that's Sheni or higher, if it touches liquids, makes them a Rishon. Call a poisal truma, anything which is capable of making truma possible, which means that it's capable of making truma a Shlishi, makes mashkin into a tchila, makes liquids into a Rishon. So in other words, even if you have, so for example, you have a sheret touched, you know, a sheret touched a loaf of bread, the loaf of bread is a Rishon. The loaf of bread touches some other food, some other food becomes a Sheni. Now, if that Sheni touches liquid, touches water, let's say, that water becomes a Rishon. It goes up instead of down. So therefore, besides for Kohenim, you have a case of Yisur Elim where something became Tumah by a Vlada Tumah, and you have this concern that even if this Keli is a Sheni, so it became Tumah from a Rishon, the Keli is a Sheni, fine, but you're going to use it to put liquids into it, the liquids are going to become a Rishon. It's not double shchiach, it's very shchiach. But the end, sure, the Keli already became Tumah, we're talking about. The Keli already became Tumah. The Keli is already a Sheni. And we're saying, the moment you put any liquid into that Keli, it's going to become a Rishon. You're back to the problem. Even the Yisraelim, technically, yes, it's true, Yisrael was allowed to eat Tumah food, but many people were careful not to. Especially on Yom Tov, right? So then you still have that issue. So Tosfos says, you're right. The kind of Keli we have to be talking about is one that can't be used for liquids. A strainer, for example. So then in that case, it's not an issue. You're not, Okay, maybe not. Actually, it just says clean manuka. Like, for example, a utensil that has a hole in it. You're not going to use it for liquids anyway. You're only going to use it for solids. So that's the kind of thing we're talking about. Tashma, come, let's bring another proof about this business of toveling on Yom Tov. The Amar of Chir Barashi Amar Rav, Nida She'en L'Pagadim, a Nida who has no other Tahar clothes to change into, she needs to tovel to become Tahar. She's supposed to then wear, her clothes became Tomei as well. So now she needs to dip both herself and her clothes, but she has no, or she needs to wear other clothes, but she doesn't have any. So what she can do, on Yom Tov, Ma'al Remes, she can play a trick for Tevelos B'Vgadeha, and Tovel while wearing her clothes. And then that accomplishes Tevila for the clothes as well.
She won't be able to wear
her clothes.
She's a Nidah, she needs to Tovel to become Tahar. She's supposed to change into Tahar clothes afterwards, because her clothes themselves became Tomei while she was wearing them. She doesn't have, so therefore she goes to the mikveh with her clothes on. There's actually a couple of interesting things about this, because it's not so simple. Wouldn't the clothes be a chatzitza? Actually, there's two different issues. Number one, the clothes aren't the clothes a chatzitza, and number two, an issue which Tosfos points out, how are you allowed to wet clothes on Yom Tov? We know you're not allowed to make things wet on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So as far as the chatzitza issue, some Mepharshim say we're talking about loose-fitting clothes. Other Mepharshim say maybe even not necessarily. For example, actually, Rav Moshe Feinstein once wrote an interesting thing wrote something similar once in a letter. When you think about it, they both wrote. You have so many. The Gemara talks about, I think it's the Nedarim, that children who are born from a Nida tend to be very chutzpahdik. They tend to be to have very 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 bad character, etc. Very bad midas. Yet nowadays, you have hundreds of thousands of Balei Tshuva in the last 40, 50 years, where their parents didn't necessarily keep Torah from Hashpacha, and they're fine Jews, How does that fit? So both of them wrote about the idea. Yeah, nowadays it's very common to go swimming in the ocean. So yes, there's a high likelihood that a woman at some point has actually gone a kosher tefillah. Yes, she's wearing a bathing suit. But the bathing suit, water does get through it. You see, when you take off a bathing suit, you're wet all over. So therefore, b'di'evit, obviously it's not a chilidic thing. I mean, there's many b'di'evits involved, but at least you can say that they did accomplish a tevilah.
Even if it's not
l'shma, yeah. I think the halacha is actually that even if a nidah accidentally falls into the water, she becomes tahar, yeah. You're supposed to have a kavanah, but b'di'evit, yeah. So anyway, so we see from that that even tight-fitting things like bathing suits might not be an issue as long as they're permeable to water. The other issue, again, is what do we do as far as the fact of getting the clothes wet? There's a few different answers. Tosfos themselves gives an answer that there's a difference between wetting something to clean it and wetting something in a way that makes it dirty. Namely, when you jump into the water wearing clothes, the clothes aren't going to get it clean. They're going to get dirtier from all the sweat and everything that's going to come out from you on them. And Tosfos says it's the same principle. You're allowed to dry your hands on a towel on Shabbos. We don't say that's malavin. So by the same token, she's allowed to tovel wearing her clothes. Because not considered cleaning. One of the Rishonim, the Sefer Yireim, gives a different explanation. He says, you're right, we would have to be talking about she's wearing leather clothes. Leather, just wetting it on Shabbos, is not considered a malacha. Only scrubbing it with water would be an issur of malavin. Yeah. Anyway, the imitza. Now, if you're telling me again that we're trying to be machmir on toiling, so granted, her or not, the civil says a person's allowed to toil on Shabbos for reasons that we'll talk about soon. But what about her clothes? We're trying to be machmir on toiling dishes and clothes. So why all of a sudden are we allowing her to do this subterfuge, to do this loophole on toiling her clothes? Yeah. Shouldn't we make a zeder that she might come to tovel the clothes by themselves? And Rabba is saying the whole point is you're not allowed to because you might carry it.
Well, she could wear them until she goes to mikveh and then.
No, but just like we said before, for example, she's going to go to one mikveh, try to tovel at their clothes, and then find that the mikveh is not operational or whatever, and then accidentally walk into Shusrabim. Yeah. The answer is shiny hosam. It's different there. Since Beferish, you're only allowing her to do it by wearing the clothes, Zuchurahi, then she'll remember that she's not otherwise allowed to toil things. Same principle that we said before about the bucket. Since you can only do it this way, then that helps remind you that you can't do it any other way. So that's one answer. That's Rabbah's answer. That goes through Rabbah's answer. We've solved all the objections to it. That's the reason you're not allowed to toivel kalim on Yom Tov, is because you might forget and carry them. Rabbi Yosef Omer, Rabbi Yosef is a different reason. Zedah b'shem schita. It's a zedah because you might come to squeeze them out. Okay, I can understand that would apply to clothes, for example, that you might squeeze. And what about dishes, for example? You're not going to squeeze those. So Rabbi Yosef tells them, similar, like we said before, you make a gzerah on dishes because you might confuse them with clothes. No, it's things that are tummy. Items that serve a person, that become tummy. So Rabbi went through one by one, asking him all the questions that he asked on Rabbah before, on Rabbah's reason for carrying. He asked him again to Rabbi Yosef. And each time, Rabbi Yosef answered him like we answered before, that each time, there's something unique about this case that will remind him that you're not allowed to toivel, that you're not allowed to toivel clothes and squeeze them. Reason number three, Rav Diviyama, Gzeira Shema Yasha. The reason you're not allowed to toivel kalim on Yom Tov is because if you allow him to, what's going to happen? He's going to have a whole bunch of tummy dishes stacked up and wait till Yom Tov. Yom Tov is not working anyway, so then he has free time, so then he'll use it. The problem is, meanwhile, he may forget and use them. And they're tummy. Okay, if you use them for chulin, not such a big deal. What if you use them for truma? Then you have a problem. And therefore, that explains why you're allowed to do the ones that became tummy on Yom Tov itself, because then there's no zera on that. Tanya Kava says it. Bibi, we learn a braisa that like Rav Bibi says. Klisha nitma me'er of Yom Tov, en mafil onos of Yom Tov. Keli that became tummy before Yom Tov, you're not allowed to toivel on Yom Tov. Gzera shema yashev, zera because he might leave it over. Tosis points out the difference is that with what we said in the Mishnah that Basil said that a person is allowed to toivel on Yom Tov. The difference is that first of all, a person is not going to wait so long to toivel. He knows he's tummy. He knows he has to become tahor as soon as possible. Second of all, there's lots of a possibility of takala. The person's going to realize that he's tummy and know to stay away from things. Reason number four: Rava Amar Mepneshin Nidukim Misakin Kli. Because when you're toiveling the utensil, it looks like you're fixing it. Before it wasn't usable. Now it is. So the Rabbanan made a gzera, so it's similar to fixing, which was a malacha d'araisa. Question is, ihachi adam nami, well, so say the same thing about a person. Why is a person allowed to toivel on Shabbos and Yom Tov? The answer is adam nirakimaker, because when a person toivels, it doesn't look, people don't realize that he's toiveling in order to make himself tahor. People think he wants to take a dip because he's hot, he wants to cool off. No, obviously a person's not a Kaili, but still, Misakin, the same thing would apply to Tikkun of a person. As a matter of fact, there's a Tosfos in Yevamos where there's also some of this discussion. Tosfos says over there, when we're talking about over here about a person toveling, that's the person, a Jew is allowed to tovel on Yom Tov. Well, on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. We'll talk about it on the Beis, what the din is nowadays as far as a Nidda. But Tosfos says there, a Ger, not. Because a ger is not allowed to tovel on Shabbos. No, to become a ger. The tefillah that makes him a ger is not allowed to tovel on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. Why? Because there you can't say, here we're saying that it looks like he's just trying to cool off. He just looks like he's trying. There, by gerus, there have to be the members of the base that have to stand there. They have to inform him about the mitzvahs one last time. So there's no way anybody can say that it looks like he's just going down to cool off. And also, other Mepharshim add, and Tosfos doesn't say it, but I think other Mepharshim say that furthermore, there it's a real tikkun. By a person tummy and becoming tummy, it's a little bit of a tikkun. Maybe we're not gozer on that. But a ger is becoming he's going from a goy to a yisrael. That's a major tikkun. So that we're not allowing.
Because it's a real
tikkun. And also, like Tosfos says, because there's no way you can pass it off as near a kameto, not with the beis din standing over there and giving him final instructions. Yes. I think what asked. Hatenach mayim yafim. Okay, so this explains if a person is toveling in clear water, in good water, then we could say he's hot, he wanted to take a dip. Mayim roi mayiklam. What are you going to say if it's stagnant water, if it's bad water? Nobody bathes in that. Amar of Nachum Yitzchak, sometimes he does. Pa'amim sha'adam ba b'sharav. Sometimes it'll happen a person comes home in the heat. And then he'll bathe in anything, even water that you soak flax in, which is disgusting and smelly, but it's still water. So a person will, any old port in a storm. Yes.
Mishra
is that you soak flax in. Okay, so you ask Kenach v'Yemeisachama. Okay, so that works out well during the summer. Fine, you could say the person is hot and wants to cool off. V'Yemeisachama ma'ikonim. What about during the winter? Still, it can happen that a person sometimes comes home from the field all dirty with mud and with tzaya and with manure. And then I want to bathe even during the winter. So yes, even during the winter, it can look like the person is just dirty and he wanted to clean off. Okay, Tenach for Shabbos, the Gemara says, fine, that works out on Shabbos, fine. But Yom Kippur, what are you going to say on Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to bathe. On the other hand, you're allowed to tovel, as the Gemara is going to talk about soon. Technically, yes, but wait, we'll talk about soon. We'll talk about soon what the din is nowadays. The Tosfos talks about it over here, but wait, how tall? So Yom Kippur, there's no excuse, you can't say Nirak Maker because you're not allowed to be Maker. So what are you going to say? Amar Rava. So Rava says, true, but me committed to Shabbos shorter Yom Kippurim Aser. There's nothing that's mutter on Shabbos and Aser on Yom Kippur. Things of Malacha, that is. I mean, obviously you can't eat and drink and so forth on Yom Kippur, which is different than Shabbos. But as far as Malacha, Yom Kippur is no stricter than Shabbos. It's even less. I mean, not less. It's the same. It's the same level. As far as Kedusha, even really, the Kedusha of Yom Kippur is less than the Kedusha of Shabbos. That's why we have 6 aliyahs on Yom Kippur, 7 on Shabbos. So there's nothing that's mutter on Shabbos and also on Yom Kippur. So once you're allowing him on Shabbos because of the excuse of Nira Kameker, then you have to allow it on Yom Kippur. The number of aliyahs is an index of the Kedusha of the day. So a regular weekday has 3. Rosh Chodesh, Chalamoyed are more holy, so there's 4. Yom Tov is more, so there's 5. Yom Kippur 6. Shabbos 7. Yeah. It's in Megillah, yeah. Yeah. Ella hoyul of Shabbos shari, you have to put a nami shari. So once you master it on Shabbos because of Maker, well then automatically you have to be master it on Yom Kippur. Because you can't make Yom Kippur be stricter than Shabbos. However, the Gemara asks to me, it's the Rava hoyul. Does Rava even hold of this concept of hoyul that wants something that would, when something is mutter on that when something is mutter on Shabbos, then when we master it another, we're going to be master it under other circumstances on Shabbos? We learn in a Mishnah in Shabbos like this. If a person has a toothache, he's not allowed to swallow down vinegar. Vinegar helps for the toothache. But on Shabbos, you're not allowed to take medicine. We've learned a number of times, you're not allowed to take medicine on Shabbos because you might come to crush herbs for medicine, which they used to do in those days. This is one of those examples, by the way, of things where even, which we talked about at the beginning of the Masechta, that even though the reason doesn't exist anymore, the takana still exists unless it's overturned by a beis din. They're called davar shminyan, sarach minyan achav la'atira. Nowadays, nobody crushes their own medicines. We just go to the pharmacy for them. But the din still applies.
But still, crushed.
Well, somebody crushes them, but it's not us. It's the manufacturers. And it's not permitted unless a person's life is in danger or even a person's limbs or whatever. So anyway, the Mishnah is saying that you're not allowed to swallow, you're not allowed to gulp down vinegar.
Let me ask you a question on that same topic on Pesach.
Yeah.
If you have medications that are, but it's very important that
the first thing you need to do is check with the doctor whether it's vital that you take that medicine. And if he says it is, then there's no question, you do it. And if, although even then, maybe try to avoid it, or try to do b'chadei achilas pras, whatever, but less than b'chadei achilas pras, eat it in small amounts, whatever. Otherwise, ask the rav. Otherwise, if it's not something that's necessary for it, then it's not a life-threatening thing. You don't have to take it, but it's something that would be useful to take. Then ask the rav.
Don't worry, there's kosher password by.
There are. There. Come on. Yeah. No. Avo metabol hukadaka, but the person can just dip food in vinegar the normal way. In those days, they dipped everything before they ate it. So you can just dip your food in vinegar like you usually do. Vim nisrapa, nisrapa. And if that helps heal you, if it helps the toothache, then good. Viram minan Allah. And in Shabbos over there, the Gemara points out a stira between that and Braisa, which says, lo yagama o poilet, that you're not allowed to gargle the vinegar and spit it out. alpha magamma ubilea, but you're allowed to gargle it and swallow it. So what is it then? So the mission is, and spit it out, because then it's obvious you're doing it for refua. As opposed to if you're swallowing it, then it looks like you wanted to drink some vinegar. So what is it? Why is the Mishnah telling us the only thing you can do is dip food into vinegar and chew it and hope that that helps? Why can't you, like the Braisa says, just swallow it down?
Thank you.
No, a little amount. Omar Abaya, and Abaya says over there, you're right. When the Mishnah is saying that it's also to do that, would mean that you're not allowed to gargle it and spit it out. But you would indeed be allowed to swallow it. That would be an option. Instead of swallowing it down, you have two options. You could swallow it down, or you could dip food in it. The Mishnah is just giving you one of the two options. Whereas Rava says, no, no, the Mishnah even means that you're not even allowed to swallow it down. The difference is, one is talking about before you ate, and the other is talking about after you ate. Namely, before you eat, you might well want to drink some vinegar in order to stimulate your appetite.
Magamea means
swallowing.
Swallowing.
Yeah.
And
Boleo? But Magamea actually means like drinking. So, Rava is saying, the Braisa, which says that you're allowed to swallow it down, is talking about before you ate. Before you ate, you may well want to drink a little bit of vinegar to stimulate your appetite. So therefore, at that point, even if the person is not doing it to stimulate his appetite, he's doing it because of his toothache, but at least it's not obvious that he's doing it as a refuah, and therefore it's allowed. As opposed to after the meal, kan la'acha tibul, after he already ate, then there's no excuse to do that. So what is that point? So what's the point? The im isa, and if you're going to say that Rava holds of this concept of hoyo, just like we said before, that he says once tevila is allowed on Shabbos and it's also allowed on Yom Kippur, by the same token, he should say name a hoyo v'kodim tibul shari, lach tibul nama shari. Well, since you're allowed to swallow the vinegar before you ate, then you're also allowed to do it after you ate. You can't say something as mutter for half of Shabbos and then also for the second half of Shabbos. It's obvious. So what happened to hoyo?
Hoyo
means since. No, hoyo means since. Since it's allowed in this case, we allow it in this case.
It's also, and the way that, since this is not allowed in this case, it's not allowed in that.
No, because definitely you can't say it's also to drink vinegar before the meal, because it was a normal thing to do, to drink a little vinegar before the meal to stimulate your appetite. So you can't say it's also at that point. Once you say it's mutter at that point, how can you say it's also after you ate? Something doesn't become also for half of Shabbat.
What's positive applies to positive. That's what negative that applies to negative.
So far we've always talked about hoyo, the positive thing. Once something is mutter, in this case we also allow it in the end. The answer is hodabe rava ma'ahi. In fact, Rava changed his mind about that statement. He retracted his understanding of that Mishnah and Braisa, and he agreed with Abaya's reason that there's a difference between swallowing it versus spitting it out. And no difference between before the meal and after the meal, it's just a difference what you do with the vinegar. So therefore, yes, in that case, he does end up holding a hoyo. Yes, once you would be allowed to swallow it, all of Shabbos, what, even after the meal. Why? Because you were allowed to swallow it before the meal. So the only thing the Mishnah would be saying is to gargle it and spit it out. Because that's obvious that you're doing it Mishnah before. Question is, the Gemara asks him, who says he changed his mind on that one? Maybe he changed his mind on our thing over here. This that Rava is saying that you're allowed to tovel on Yom Kippur because once it's allowed on Shabbos, it's allowed on Yom Kippur. Maybe Rava changed his mind over here and held after all that you're not allowed to tovel on Yom Kippur. The answer is, you can't think like that. The Tanya, because we learn explicitly in a Braisa, anybody who's obligated to tovel is allowed to tovel normally, ben b'Tisha B'Av, ben b'Yom Kippur, whether Tisha B'Av or Yom Kippur. Now, how does this apply nowadays? So the thing is like this, though. First of all, The Gemara talks about at the very end of Yoma, the last Amud of Yoma, that this concept of toveling on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur applies only when you're toveling bizmanai, only when you're toveling in its proper time. Now, most of us, when we tovel on a daily or weekly or whatever it is basis, we men, we're not toveling for Tumah anyway. We're toveling as Takanas Ezra. Takanas Ezra, I mean, nowadays the Takanas Ezra was actually Nisbatel. Nowadays the original Takana that you can't learn or daven when you were Balkeri, that was later taken away, the Gemara says in Brachas, because most people couldn't hack it. So therefore, it's only a minug nowadays. A minug can't override the halacha that you can't wash on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. So there's no question men are not allowed to tovel. What about women? For example, a woman who tovels for Rapta
Act
are not allowed to nowadays.
What says, yeah.
That's in those times. In those times, when there was a matter of Tumah V'Tahara, we're not toveling because of Tumah V'Tahara. In those times, for example, a person who touched a sheretz needed to tovel because otherwise he can't handle Tumah and Kachim. We don't have that issue. So we don't tovel because of actual dinim of Tumah V'Tahara. We tovel because of the minug based on the original Tevilas Ezra. But a minug can't override halacha. What about women when women tovel as a nida? Tosfos points out, nevertheless, though, the fact is, they're not necessarily toveling in the proper time either. We know that nowadays, the dinim of Taras and Mishpacha, the dinim of Nida, are actually a blend of the halachas of Nida and Zava. Nida Araisa, when a woman bleeds as a Nida, she only has to wait until the end of 7 days from the beginning of it, and then she tovels, and then that's that. Only a Zava Gdola, only if she had bleeding 3 days in succession, and it was not during her regular Yimei Nida, does she then need Shiva Nakiyim? The fact that we always do Shiva Nakiyim is a Chumrah, that the B'nai Sisra Lachmira Atman, the Gemara says in a few places. It's not part of the original din. And it's part of the dinim, part of the difference of the way we do things nowadays is Takana Zerabanan. Other parts are this minhag of B'nai Sisra. So when a woman tovels nowadays, when a woman tovels nowadays to be Tahar for her husband, it's not in time anyway. It's not in the proper, generally speaking, it's not in the proper time. So therefore, you still don't have this heter. This heter of toveling on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur is only if you're toveling at the proper time. If you're not toveling at the proper time anyway, wait till tomorrow.
Proper time meaning what?
The actual day when Minas Torah is supposed to be toveling.
The difference between Shiva Nakim and 7 days.
A nida is only she has to wait until the end of 7 days from when the bleeding started, whether the bleeding lasted a day, 2 days, 5 days, whatever. A Zava Gdola, where she had bleeding 3 days in succession, is the one who has to have Shiva Nakim, 7 clean days, without any bleeding. So nowadays, when a woman tovels, when a woman waits the 5 days and then the 7 days and then tovels, she's not toveling at the time that the Torah established in the first place. Anyway, she's toveling later because of this combination of Tekonis Terabanon and Minhagim.
Because one starts at the beginning and the other one starts after
3 days. Yeah.
Whenever she's supposed to bleed.
Yeah. So that's one point, is it's not Vizmana anyway. Number two, Tosfos points out there's another thing also. In those times, again, they toveled because of Tumah V'Tahara. Why would a woman be toveling nowadays? Not because of Tumah V'Tahara, we're all Tomei nowadays anyway. The reason would be to be Mutter, to have relations with her husband. Well, Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to have relations anyway. So don't go to the mikveh then. Wait till the following night. Because you anyway, So those are the two reasons why nowadays this din does not apply that you're allowed to tovel on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. So for men, for sure not, because for men there's no case where a man has an actual chiyuv to tovel, and at least not one that couldn't be delayed till the next day. And for women also, even though they have the chiyuv too, when after their period, but there's the fact that it's not vizmana and the fact that it's only to be able to resume relations.
Let me ask you a question. The chiyuv in Torah of Torah, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And just based on what you said now, we don't apply the concept of 7 days according to the Torah. In other words, we can't say this from the beginning.
Right.
We wait until...
Because we always consider that when a woman bleeds, we consider as if she was a Zavag Tayla. Even because it's confusing, the concept of when which are the Yemei Nida and Yemei Ziva is very confusing, and in fact it's machlokes between Rambam and all the other Rishonim how to count it.
Once a day.
It's too far off topic to talk about it now, but I'll tell you briefly. When a woman starts bleeding, you count 7 days from that. Those are the 7 Yemei Nida. After that, you have 11 days, which are called Yumei Ziva. Any bleeding during that time makes for a Zava. Zava Ktana, Zava Gdola, as the case may be. Now, after those 11 days, do you immediately begin a new 7-day cycle? The Rambam says yes. All the other Rishonim say no. The next 7-day cycle begins the next bleeding. So imagine, for example, you have a woman who has, let's say, a cycle that lasts 1 month, which is fairly typical. According to the Rambam, her bleeding, the second month, is going to be during her Yemei Ziva. It's going to be during those 11 days. Because you have 7 days, then 11, then another 7. That brings you to what? 25 days into the month. Then you have 11 Yemei Ziva, which includes the first of the next month. So when she has her regular monthly period, then according to the Rambam, at that point she's a Zava. According to everybody else, she's a Nida. So already there you have that issue. Plus, there's all kinds of cases where you're not sure when the bleeding started and when it ended, etc. So there's a great deal of confusion in it. So because of that, the Rabbanan made a takana that we always consider that you don't distinguish between Nida and Zava, and then Zava Ktana at least. And the Benos Yisrael, Jewish women, furthermore, were machmer on themselves, the Gemara mentions in a few places, that even for the smallest amount of bleeding, we treat it as if she was a Zavag Dola and she has to have 7 clean days. Okay, but that's, yeah. So if you have a couple who's not able to conceive because the woman is going to the mikveh too late, then they talk to a Rav to see what options there are. There are options in certain cases, but that this isn't the place to talk about it. Mishnah said v'shavin shemashikin et hamayim v'kliyevin. We follow that both the Shama and Vitzil agree that you can do hashaka of water in a stone keli, and the Mishnah said avol loy matvilin, but you're not allowed to title. So my avol loy matvilin, what does that mean? Amashmul ein matvilin asakli. Agav meimav l'tara biyamtiv. It means you're not allowed to title the keli with water in it to make the keli tahar an yamtiv. You can only make the water tahar, but not the keli. So therefore, you need to be using a stoneware keli, which can never become tame in the first place. Tosfos Rid points out, theoretically, you could have also used an earthenware keli, because earthenware can't be terrible either. The issue with it is, if the earthenware keli is tame, you're not going to help anything. The moment you take it out of the mikveh, it's tame again, and it makes the water tame. So therefore, practically speaking, you can't use earthenware. The only thing you can use that's not going to be tame the water itself afterwards is stoneware.
Why would you use an earthenware?
Suppose you wanted to use an earthenware keli instead of, suppose you didn't have a stone keli. If the earthenware keli itself is tame, though, which it will be, actually, because it touched the tame water, you're going to dip it in the mikveh. The earthenware itself doesn't become tahor in the mikveh. Earthenware can't be dipped in the mikveh. So when you take it out, it's still tame, and it's tame, the water all over again. You haven't accomplished anything. Mani masnis, the Gemara says, so who is our Mishnah like? Loi Rebbe v'loi Rabbanan. It seems to be neither like Rebbe nor like the Rabbanan. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Ein Makbilin as a Kli Agav Neim Avotara. You're not allowed to tovel a Keli together with the water to make it tahor, to make both the Keli and the water tahor. The Ein Makshikin as a Mayim Bekli Evin Lataran. And furthermore, you're not allowed to do Hashaka of water in a stone Keli to make the water alone tahor. Divrei Rebbe, that's what Rebbe says. So Rebbe is being Machmir on Hashaka. Vacham Makbilin Kli Agav Neim Avotara, Makshikin as a Mayim Bekli Evin Lataran. The Chachamim say you're allowed to do both of those things. So we have to consider, Mani, who is our Mishnah like? E Rebbe Kasha Ashaka. If the Mishnah is like Rebbe, then you have a problem with Ashaka. The Mishnah is saying you can do Ashaka, Rebbe says you can't. E Rabbanan Kasha Abbala. And if it's according to the Rabbanan, and the Mishnah is saying Abel Ein Makbilin, you can't tovel the Keli along with the water, but on the Braisa, the Chama saying you can. The answer is, the Gemara says, Yivoyseme Rebbe, Yivoyseme Rabbanan. You could answer that our Mishnah is like either Rebbe or the Rabbanan. Namely, Ivar Yisema Rebbe, you could say that it is like Rebbe because you would say Reisha de Braisa b'Yomtiv v'Sefer b'Shabbat. The first part of the Braisa where it says not you that you can't tovel is talking about Yomtiv. The second part, which says that you can't do Hashaka, is talking about Shabbat. This that we're mocked through that you're allowed to do Hashaka is only on Yomtiv, not on Shabbat, according to Rebbe. Ivar Yisema Rabbanan. Reisha the Braisa b'Yomtiv v'Sefer b'Shabbat. The first part of the Braisa would be talking about Yomtiv. The second part, where it says that you can't do Hashaka, would be talking about Shabbat. V'Kolam Asnisin b'Yomtiv. All of our Mishnah, which says that you're not allowed to do Tevila, but you're allowed to do Hashaka, would be on Yomtiv. Because according to Rebbe, you would still be allowed to do Hashaka on Yomtiv. Or you could say that the Braisa is, that the Mishnah is like the Rabbanan, because all of our Mishnah would be talking about on Shabbos. The Rabbanan in the Braisa would be saying that you're allowed to do Hashaka on Shabbos, but they're saying you're not allowed to tovel, but they would be saying that you're not allowed to tovel, that when they say Makbilin Kli Agav Neim Lotare, it's talking about Yom Tov, not Shabbos. So Yom Tov, you would be allowed to be Makbil, that's what the Mishnah is saying, but our Mishnah is not talking about that, because our Mishnah is talking about Shabbos, according to that way of looking at it. So the Braita is distinguishing between Yom Tov and Shabbat. The Mishnah is talking all about Shabbat. Shabbat, you're allowed to do Hashoka, but you're not allowed to do Tevilah, according to the Rabbanan. So therefore, either way you can work it out.